During World War II, a devoted Christian family took a courageous stand by choosing to hide Jewish families to protect them from Nazi persecution. Despite their unwavering faith and the belief that they were following God's will, this decision ultimately led to their arrest. For one family member, this journey took her into the horrors of a concentration camp, where she wrestled deeply with how suffering could be part of God's plan for her life. Yet, even amidst in the bleakness, she saw glimmers of hope as lives were transformed around her, and she gained a sense of peace that her suffering might serve as a greater purpose. Months later, an unexpected clerical error led to her release from the camp, just days before others of her age group were tragically sent to their death. Only after her release did she realize how this small detail may have been God's way to preserve her life, to share a message of forgiveness, resilience, and faith with millions worldwide. Her story would become a powerful testimony to how God's plan often extends far beyond our own understanding. Many of us often wonder if our lives have specific purpose or if God truly has a plan for us. In a world filled with uncertainties, it is easy to feel lost or unsure. But the Bible gives us many promises that God is intimately involved in our lives, and He has a plan for each one of us. So let's begin with key number one. Key number one is to understand God's sovereignty, how He orchestrates all things. The Bible is clear that God is sovereign, meaning He has ultimate control and authority over everything that happens and that everything is connected according to His plan. This truth extends to each of our lives. We learn this in Proverbs 16:9. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. This verse beautifully reminds us that while we may have dreams and aspirations, it is ultimately God who guides the path we walk. Even in times of uncertainty, He is in control, directing our steps to fulfill a purpose far greater than we often realize. How often do we set out with plans and ambitions only to encounter unexpected obstacles that leave us feeling frustrated or questioning why would God allow these disruptions? It's natural to want our path to be smooth, but let's not forget what C.S. Lewis said. The safest road to hell is a gradual one, a gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turns, without milestones, without signposts. Following Jesus means trusting His plan over our own. Our calling isn't to try to align God's will with our desires, but rather to shape our desires to match His will. When we find ourselves blocked or unable to achieve what we thought was certain, God might be trying to bring us into alignment with Him. He often uses these closed doors to redirect our steps, and yet we can miss His plans for us if we focus too much on reopening doors that He may have intentionally closed. Instead of resisting, these moments invite us to seek His guidance with an open heart, asking not, why is this happening, but what are you trying to teach me, Lord? This doesn't mean that every obstacle is God's way of saying no, but rather that God's guidance is often quiet and persistent. Many times we can sense when God is closing the door. We just need to be attentive enough to recognize it. And when He does, we have to trust that He may have a different purpose for us. One that may look entirely different from what we had planned, or perhaps even led to something far greater than we ever anticipated. That's why in Jeremiah 29:11, it says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God spoke these words to the Israelites during their exile. It serves as a powerful reminder that He has a plan for each of us. Even when circumstances seem bleak, God's plans are for our good, to give us hope. We often wish that God would just speak to us directly, laying out each step of His plan. But if He did, many of us might hesitate or even turn away. Let me give you an example. Imagine if Joseph asked God, "God, what do you want me to do?" And God replied, "All right, I'll tell you, but it's not going to be easy." Perhaps God would begin by saying, "Remember that special coat your father gave you? Maybe flaunting it in front of your brother wasn't your best move. Or those dreams I showed you about your future, you could have shared them a little bit differently." But let's not dwell on that. Then God would say, "Joseph, I do have a great plan for your life, a plan that will one day save many lives. But before that time, I need to prepare you, Eagerly, Joseph responds, "Yes, Lord, I'm ready. Tell me." God then begins, "First, your brothers will turn against you, and they will plan to kill you." Joseph, shocked, replies, "What? Why would they do that?" "But instead of killing you," God continues, "they'll sell you as a slave." Joseph, trying to process this, asks, "How long will I be a slave?" God answers, "About 11 years. Joseph, 11 years? "Yes," God replies, "but this is how I'm going to get you to Egypt, where the plan unfolds. There you will serve a man named Potiphar, and I need you to be loyal to him as a slave servant." Joseph nods, "Of course, Lord, I'll be loyal." "Good," God says, "but be prepared. Potiphar's wife will try to seduce you. You must stay loyal to me and to Potiphar." "Of course, Lord," Joseph replies, "I would never betray him, and I would never betray you." God sighs, "Even so, she will lie and accuse you of betrayal, which will land you in prison for a couple of years." At this point, Joseph might protest, "I'm not sure I want to hear any more of this plan, God." Now, let me ask you this. Now that Joseph knows God's plans, don't you think he would try to alter God's plans just a little to avoid the difficult parts? Sometimes if God showed us our full journey, we might hesitate or even turn away. But through Joseph's trials, God was preparing him for something beyond his wildest dreams. When God doesn't give us the full plan, it's because he's shaping us through each moment, leading us towards his greater purpose. Ultimately, his journey calls us to faith that is willing to walk even when we don't fully understand the road ahead. It's about trusting that his plans are not only better, but are also designed to mold us, grow us, and bring us closer to him. And even though God's plan for our lives may not be like Joseph's, it doesn't mean it will not be used for the saving of many lives. Imagine the person who brought Billy Graham to Christ, what that one conversion did all those years later. So if you're in a season where your job or current path doesn't seem connected with your dreams, remember that God may be using it to prepare you in ways you cannot see. The skills you're learning and the character you're developing might just be the foundation for what he has planned for you next. Remember, God's plan for your life is not just about you. It's about something much greater, his kingdom. He is weaving your life into a vast, intricate picture that you cannot fully see from where you stand. Each choice you make, every hardship you endure, and each victory you experience is a thread in a beautiful tapestry he has created. God's vision goes beyond our limited view of success or happiness. His purpose includes all his people, and he often uses our lives in ways that affect others, sometimes in ways we might not never know. When we feel uncertain or struggle to see the purpose behind what we're going through, we can trust that God is skillfully weaving us into a story that is ultimately for his glory and for our good. C.S. Lewis said this, "There are far, far better things ahead than any we leave behind." Which brings us to key number two. Key number two is understanding God's purpose is personal and specific. God's plans are not one size fits all. He knows you intimately, and he has designed a specific path just for you. We learn this in Psalms 139, 13 through 16. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." This verse teaches us that not only has God created us, but he has also prepared specific good works for us to carry out. Our lives are meant to accomplish God's purpose. You may be thinking, how can I carry out specific good works when I don't even know if I'm at the right job? What if God wants me to do something else? We need to remember that carrying out God's good work can be done from any job that allows you to be honest and to live under his moral law. If you're a truck driver, drive the truck the best you can, and be loyal to the company or person you work for. If you're a nurse, be the best nurse that you can be and be loyal to the people you work for. Regardless of what you do, do it to the best of your abilities. And when God opens a door for you to witness, take that opportunity. So whatever job you have right now, it's probably right where God wants you to be. And if God wants you somewhere else, he may close the door, forcing you to do what you're doing somewhere else, or to do something entirely different. Which brings us to key number three. Key number three is following God's plan requires trust and patience. Even when we know God has a plan, It's easy to feel impatient or doubtful. Sometimes His plans unfold slowly, and we become impatient because we don't see the full picture. Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." This well-known verse encourages us to trust God rather than relying on our own limited understanding. His guidance may not always make sense to us in the moment, but He promises to direct our steps when we trust Him. Isaiah 40:31 says this: "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." This verse reassures us that waiting on God and placing our hope in Him strengthens us. Sometimes God's plan requires us to be patient and wait for His timing. Trusting in God's plan requires patience, but it leads to a spiritual strength and renewal. If you're a person in a season of waiting, remember that God is still working. We just need to be patient. Which brings us to key number four. Key number four is how to align ourselves with God's plan. So, how do we do this? Well, if we want to walk in God's plan for our lives, we need to actively seek His guidance. We learn this in Matthew 6:31-33. So, do not worry saying, "What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." God is telling us not to worry about the things He knows that we need. He tells us that even non-believers do that. Then He tells us the key on how to align our lives with God's plan, and that is to first seek the kingdom of God. When we prioritize God's kingdom and His righteousness, we align ourselves with His plan. We may not always know every step, but if we keep God's priorities first, He will take care of the rest. That's why in Psalms 37:23-24 says this: "The Lord makes firm the steps of the ones who delight in Him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with His hand." If you delight in God, He will guide your steps. Even if you stumble, He promises to uphold you and set you back on the right path. We need to make sure that we're staying close to God through prayer, scripture, and seeking His will. The more we seek Him and His kingdom, the clearer His plan will become. Remember that woman I talked about at the beginning of this lesson who found herself in a German concentration camp? Her name was Corrie ten Boom. In one of her writings, she shared how she was grappling with God's goodness amidst the unimaginable hardship. She noted that people often say, "Isn't God good in good times?" But she asked, "What about when our circumstances aren't so good? Is God still good then?" She reflected, "God is good when He sends good weather, but He's also good when He allowed my sister Betsy to starve to death before my eyes in a concentration camp." Corrie recalled a dark moment in the camp when she confided with her sister Betsy that she felt that God had forgotten them. Betsy responded, "No, Corrie, He has not forgotten us. Remember His word, for as far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love towards those who fear Him." Corrie would later say, "There is an ocean of God's love available, and there's plenty for everyone. May God grant you never to doubt His victorious love, whatever the circumstances." Her story and faith reminds us that God's purpose is woven through every part of our lives, even in the darkest parts. Let me leave you with this. God has a plan for your life, and it is a good one, whether it looks like it or not. He knows every detail, and He is guiding you even when it seems uncertain. Trust in His sovereignty, rely on His strength, and be patient in the process. His plans are meant to prosper you and to grow you into a person He has called you to be, which is to be like His Son. Take comfort in the truth that God is always at work, and your life has a unique and meaningful purpose.